Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A Thousand Days, John F. Kennedy in the White House, is Arthur M. Schlesinger Jr.'s landmark nonfiction account of the Kennedy presidency from 1961 to 1963. Written by a respected historian who also served as a special assistant to Kennedy, the book combines insider observation with historical interpretation to portray the administration as a period of intense political pressure, policy experimentation, and recurring crisis. It examines the White House as both a governing institution and a human environment shaped by advisors, rivalries, public expectations, and fast-moving world events. The book is especially known for its coverage of the Bay of Pigs, the Cuban Missile Crisis, civil rights conflicts, and the broader tensions of the Cold War. Because it draws on direct access to Kennedy and his circle, it offers a perspective that is simultaneously documentary and reflective, making it one of the most influential studies of modern American presidential history. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, an insider history of the Kennedy White House. The book stands out because Schlesinger was not writing as a distant observer. He served inside the Kennedy administration, which gave him access to the daily atmosphere of decision-making, the personality around the president, and the rhythms of White House life. That position allows the book to move beyond a conventional political history and become a record of how power actually operated under Kennedy. Readers see not only formal policy outcomes, but also the pressures, hesitations, and competing advice that shaped them. This insider viewpoint is valuable because it helps explain why the administration often appeared energetic and improvisational at the same time. Schlesinger does not simply praise the president. He presents Kennedy as a leader, working within a demanding system of advisors, bureaucratic limits, and international danger. The result is a portrait of governance that is intimate, detailed, and institutionally revealing. Secondly, crisis management under Cold War pressure. One of the book's central concerns is how the Kennedy administration responded to emergencies that could have escalated into global conflict. The Bay of Pigs invasion and the Cuban Missile Crisis receive special attention because they expose both the strengths and weaknesses of presidential leadership. Schlesinger shows Kennedy learning from failure, reassessing intelligence, and relying on judgment rather than ideology when stakes were highest. The Cuban Missile Crisis especially functions as a measure of statecraft under extreme pressure, illustrating how close the superpowers came to disaster. What makes this section important is not only the historical event itself, but the way the book frames crisis as a test of institutions, personalities, and restraint. It reveals how decisions were shaped by uncertainty, partial information, and the need to balance military options against political consequences. In this sense, the book is as much about the mechanics of survival as it is about diplomacy. Thirdly, civil rights and the limits of presidential action. The book also places the Kennedy presidency within the domestic struggle over civil rights, showing that moral urgency did not automatically translate into rapid political change. Schlesinger treats civil rights as one of the administration's defining challenges because it forced the White House to confront the gap between principle and federal action. Kennedy is portrayed as increasingly engaged with the issue, yet constrained by Congress, Southern resistance, and the need to preserve broader political coalitions. This makes the topic important for understanding the practical limits of presidential power in a democratic system. The book does not reduce the civil rights movement to a White House story, but it does examine how the administration responded to pressure from activists, events, and public opinion. That approach helps readers see civil rights as both a national moral struggle and a test of executive leadership. It also shows why the Kennedy years are often remembered as a transition period rather than a conclusion. Fourthly, a broad portrait of policy, politics, and personalities. Schlesinger organizes the book around the idea that a presidency cannot be understood through policy alone. He pays close attention to the personalities around Kennedy, including cabinet members, advisors, and political allies, whose ambitions and disagreements shape the administration. This gives the book a layered structure. It is about legislation, foreign affairs, and public events, but also about temperament, loyalty, and institutional rivalry. That combination matters because the Kennedy era was defined by rapid activity and by a style of leadership that depended heavily on discussion and selective delegation. Schlesinger suggests that the administration was successful, partly because it drew on intelligence and competitive argument, yet vulnerable because it was never fully free from confusion or fragmentation. This focus on people as well as policies makes the book more than a chronology. It becomes a study of how modern presidential government depends on managing not only national problems, but also the human dynamics inside the executive branch. Lastly, historical authority shaped by extensive documentation. The book's influence also comes from its documentary richness and its place in historical scholarship. Schlesinger had access to major records, photographs, memoranda, and archival materials, which allowed him to build a detailed account of the Kennedy years. That abundance of evidence gives the book a strong visual and factual texture, making it useful both as narrative history and as a source of historical memory. At the same time, the book reflects the strengths and limits of participant history. Its closeness to the administration creates vividness and immediacy, but it can also lead to a more sympathetic emphasis on Kennedy than some later historians prefer. This tension is part of what makes the work enduringly important. Readers encounter not a detached institutional summary, but a historian working from inside a moment he believes was historically exceptional. That blend of access, interpretation, and documentation is what gives the book its lasting authority. In conclusion, A Thousand Days is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically grounded account of the Kennedy presidency, rather than a short political summary. It will be especially useful to students of American history, readers interested in the Cold War, and anyone trying to understand how presidential decision-making works under pressure. The book offers more than a record of events. It explains the relationships, institutional tensions, and public crises that defined Kennedy's brief time in office. Its greatest value lies in the combination of insider access and scholarly interpretation. Schlesinger writes as both participant and historian, which gives the narrative unusual detail and immediacy, while also placing it within a broader historical argument. Compared with many other presidential biographies, it is more document-rich, more analytically observant, and more attentive to the inner mechanics of government. It remains distinctive because it captures not only Kennedy's image, but the operational reality of his administration. For readers seeking a foundational portrait of early 1960s American leadership, this book remains one of the most important works in the field. If you would like to support Arthur M. Schlesinger Jr., you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.